Today on Timey-Wimey TV, we bid farewell to Matt Smith. Moffat has been waiting to write this episode for a while now, because it's time to talk about the time of the Doctor. Hello, Internet. This is Liz Shannon Miller at Lizlet on the Twitters.
And I'm Rudy Deshan at Rudy on Twitter, and you're listening to Timey-Wimey TV, our show about Doctor Who and other time travel-related media.
You're totally doing it, guys.
Listening to our show.
Yes.
Successfully.
It's been a little while. I'm a little rusty on how this works, this whole podcasting thing.
We introduce ourselves.
We did that.
Yes. Then we make slight divergent references to other pop culture media before we realize, oh my God, we're on the air.
Yes.
And get back to the show.
Yeah.
That repeats itself several times.
Yes.
As we discuss elements that are related to what we do.
We should just do a meta podcast sometime where it's just like all of it, you know, it's like, and now it's the part of the podcast where normally we would do this or that.
Yeah. Like a stream of conscious podcast.
Yes. Okay. But,
which seems to be what we have anyway.
Which is what we seem to do anyway. We're going to do a quick little bit of news roundup or trailer roundup, if you will. And then, of course, we're going to get to what I'm sure the reason you're listening to this, which is that, there's nothing bigger in Doctor Who in the Doctor Who universe than a regeneration, and that's what we had on Christmas Day this year.
That is.
So first off,
totally unexpected.
Yes, it wasn't. it wasn't prepared. We weren't prepared for it with an hour long documentary special beforehand,
or a year's worth of stuff leading up to it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh my goodness. But quick trailer roundup. The trailer for Edge of Tomorrow, which is a movie we've been tracking ever since Rudy read the book it was based on.
Yes.
But the Tom Cruise film Edge of Tomorrow, where it's Halo, and we're basically it's Halo, and Emily Blunt teaches Tom Cruise how to be good at Halo.
The book is originally called All You Need Is Kill.
Yep.
It's a pretty good book, an easy read, Japanese in origin. A bit nihilistic, mm-hmm. But it's one of those books I'm like, wow, this totally is like a book for our generation. Because like, as much as you're joking about it being it's Halo, mm-hmm. That's, I think, part of like the inspiration of the book is someone's tossed into a time travel circumstance that basically is, hey, keep playing this level over and over and over again until you get good and you know all that, the moves. It's the video game generation.
Right.
Reaction to stuff. So yeah, that was awesome. Edge of Tomorrow, not as an awesome title.
Not as awesome a title. Yeah. But I like Emily Blunt in kind of a gender neutral badass position. Of course, she'll be making out with Tom Cruise at some point, I'm sure, but you know.
Which is, yeah. I'm wondering what they're going to do with that, because in the book, it's one of the cool things in the book is that the character is female and a badass and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we have Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to play like an incompetent, well, when he comes in, like, a guy's not prepared for battle, and
right.
By the end becomes uber awesome.
Yeah, he gets good at it.
He gets good.
Yay!
He has infinite lives. He knows the cheat codes.
The trailer actually I thought looked pretty good, and you know, I like Doug Liman. I don't think he's always the best director, but I think he has made movies I've enjoyed watching.
Yeah.
So
I think it's one of those cases where, like, if you're truly expecting this to be a groundbreaking film,
yeah,
you know, good on you, buddy. I'm not expecting it to be that great.
Yes, but it should be at least vaguely entertaining.
Yeah.
Speaking of vaguely entertaining, there was also a trailer for a film called Welcome to Yesterday that came out, which has been, it's kind of a young no-name cast, discovers Time Machine, starts screwing around with it. It kind of reminded me of The Butterfly Effect.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why it got that kind of, I kind of got that vibe from it. I don't know why.
Well, it's the idea of like going back and changing stuff makes things worse.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know. It doesn't look like a movie I'm going to probably put on my priority list.
It's also one of those things that it's clearly what's put position as, hey, you want Paranormal Activity with time travel, don't you?
Yeah.
Like that, it's going for the found footage thing,
mm-hmm.
Which is weird because some of the shots in the trailer are like wondering, who's filming this moment right now? What? But it's, I mean, the idea is that someone noticed, like, I think the premise is like some guy notices that he's in his own birthday video.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
like present day himself is in the birthday video for his much, much, much younger self.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he's like, that means one of us must know about time travel. Luckily, my crazy uncle or some such thing has that downstairs, and they find it. And I love the, dudes, we invented time travel.
We're the coolest dudes.
I know, it's, I think.
Dude, where's my time machine?
I'm beginning to get like the whole old man Bushman idea of like, stay off my lawn, you filthy kids.
Oh, the kids today.
Yes.
With their rap music and their baggy pants. Okay.
Down to their ankles.
Down to their ankles. So I think that's about all, you know, we've stalled long enough.
There's not much else in terms of, I mean, it being the holiday season.
Yes.
It'd be, you know, one Christmas we should figure about doing like a Christmas edition where we go like Christmas time travel films.
We kind of did that. We did It's a Wonderful Life and Christmas Carol last year.
Yes, that was the ones that are time travel related.
That are time travel related.
My point is, are there any Hallmark Christmas films that we can?
Oh, I'm sure there are some truly terrible ones. That'll be wonderful.
A shout out to Liz, actually, because on our friend of Liz, wrote an article for Liz Tells Frank. There's a great one about like Hallmark Christmas that are all encapsulated with 5 points that always happens in this.
Yes, it basically like the ABC Family Hallmark Lifetime movies that show up around this time of year. My friend Jesse wrote a ode slash everything you need to understand about them. My favorite is that it's not a felony if it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's not a felony if it's Christmas.
Yes,
you can kidnap a guy. It's totally fine.
Totally fine, guys. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Speaking of felonies, wow, that's a good segue. speaking of felonies, you want to get to Time of the Doctor?
Wow, you hate Stephen Moffat that much, huh?
Oh, no. Oh, not really. I don't know.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about Time of the Doctor.
Definitely. I mean, there's been a lot of reaction online.
People have the feels.
Yes. Take it from the top with the spoilers.
Spoilers.
No, but you're supposed to do it.
What, didn't we retire River Song?
Well, Moffat may have, but not in our hearts.
Okay. Spoilers.
Yay! By the way, one thing I discovered, I always watch, what's it called? It's a Wonderful Life.
Uh-huh.
I never get tired of that moment where he realizes he's back to his normal life, where all he does is run up and down the street, sees things, and goes, yeah! Over and over and over again. With such joy and enthusiasm.
It's a good yeah.
Yeah, it's like so wrong. It's the stupidest thing he's cheering for. It's like, car crashed into a tree. Yeah! bar that it's going under. Yeah!
That is a different interpretation of It's a Wonderful Life than I'm used to.
It's the best interpretation.
Indeed. So
recap.
So quick recap. You want to start?
I'll take a shot at it. The doctor is invited to dinner with Clara.
Yes.
While he's trying to figure out where this one planet has a repeating signal that's drawing every race to go come check it out through space and time.
Right.
Bouncing back between that and the signal, they discover the signal's coming through the crack, the same crack from his first season.
Right.
And it's from Gallifrey.
Yeah.
And it's Gallifrey trying to come back into our universe. And the moment every other race discovers that, they all freak out because they don't want the Time War to restart.
Mm-hmm.
The crack is actually near a town called Christmas.
Charming.
Charming, I guess. And the doctor takes upon himself to defend the crack.
Defend the town.
Defend the town, but not give the name. There's a name, like, if they want him to say his name, is that
the clue? Yeah, the message from Gallifrey is just Doctor Who
over and over.
Because that will unlock, and if the doctor says his name, it will unlock.
Yeah.
It will unlock the hermetic seal that was put on Gallifrey, right. And they'll come back.
And they know it's safe to come back is the big thing.
Okay.
So, and then the doctor sends Clara away. She comes back a couple times, I guess, and he ages, like, hundreds and hundreds of years in between until finally he's going to be dying anyway.
Yeah.
And Clara convinces the Gallifreyans through the crack, you owe this man stuff. Give him extra regenerations. And that's how we get around the regeneration cycle, because the doctor has a new regeneration.
Yes.
And at the time, and the recent regenerations are very powerful, as we've seen. He basically blows up all the Daleks.
With the regeneration energy.
There's something involving nudity and a kind of Roman Catholic... Yeah. Computer place that that is the source of the silence that's finally explained.
Yes. So basically, it's the return of the weird... religious army,
right?
That Moffat's been using here and there over the last several seasons.
Exactly, and apparently, well, anyway, it turns out the Silence are a faction of that army that's actually evil.
Yeah,
like they're heretics or something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The end. Like, oh, and Peter Capaldi shows up.
Yes, and Peter Capaldi shows up. There's a lot of stuff that's basically piecing together hints we've gotten over the last three seasons. It's actually like we finally now actually understand. I feel like I finally now actually understand everything that happened in the last three seasons.
And yeah, it actually. Let's go to pros then, because yeah. I gotta say, contrary to a lot of internet reaction, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I felt like, yay, that was interesting to hear where the silence came from. That they're like the secret confessors of this.
Yeah, the race, the silence, are priests, mm-hmm. and they're the perfect priests because you forget what you told them when right. you confess.
Exactly.
So it turns out that that's where they came from, and then I guess they split off and went rogue.
Some of them did.
Yeah. There's a lot of talks like, I think they're the order that the section of the the religious army thing that was responsible for creating River's Song.
Yeah,
was a breakaway segment of this religion.
Right, thing. And also blowing up the TARDIS in the first season. Basically, all the ones that have been harassing him uh-huh. have actually driven to this point. That was another cool thing I liked.
Yeah.
Which was. Oh, they blew up the TARDIS, which causes this fracture anyway. That would happen.
But the actual main church isn't like necessarily after the Doctor.
Right.
They're just trying to preserve the silence because that's actually the meme that we've had over the last years. What was it like? When the question is answered, silence will fall. When the question is, I forget exactly what the wording is.
When the question is answered, the silence will fall.
Thank you. And so that's
that explains it.
Yeah. So that that got explained.
Yeah.
So that was nice. I feel like basically Moffat has been waiting to write this episode for a while now.
Right.
Because it feels like. A lot of the stuff that was revealed and a lot of stuff that came together, and we're not doing a great job of summarizing everything, but if you watched it, you know what we're talking about.
Right, because there's a lot of callbacks, so a lot of things. Yeah.
A lot of callbacks, a lot of, like, putting this and that together, but not in a super exposition-y way, which I appreciated.
Right, and actually, that's one of the other things I was saying, is that I kind of liked it because, you know, people have, it felt really much like a summary of this entire run of Matt Smith.
Yeah.
High energy, lots of throwaways. He goes big gaps of time skipping, big playing around with time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I'm going to talk about that again when we got to cons, but in this sentence, it's like, hey, there's a lot of callbacks to things that we've seen. The crack, the silence, things that they saw in the time. So there you go. Kind of like the regeneration resolution, and something that people were talking about was that there was actually that one of the David Tennant, the whole thing that happened with David Tennant.
They apparently were counting the duplicate doctor
as a regeneration,
which I guess, I mean, if he, because otherwise essentially Moffat would have to deal with it at the end of Capaldi's run, and I feel like doing it now is actually kind of cleaner.
Yeah, especially on the finale.
Yeah.
You know, it helps raise the stakes, so to be. I gotta say, as always, Matt Smith's been a freaking delight on this show.
Yes.
And this demonstrated his whole, like, ability to act like an old man and care about a bunch of things.
Yeah. No, I also really liked it. I wasn't like, you know, it's like, I don't know, I wasn't necessarily blown away, but I was really glad that a lot of stuff came together and made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Though I guess we're never, ever, 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 ever going to understand how Clara and the Doctor escaped the Doctor's timeline.
Yeah, I know, you're right.
The Doctor. Never going to know. It will be one of the mysteries of the ages.
Timey-wimey, who talks like that? You know, like...
Oh my goodness. So yeah, I mean, I think there's... yeah, Matt Smith was amazing. Matt, you know, just, you know, I wish that the old man makeup had been better, because that was some weak sauce right there.
It's funny, because, like, my wife Casey, she was saying she didn't want any old man makeup. She wanted to see as much of her Matt Smith as until the very end.
Yeah, I was watching when he was revealed as aged. I was like, okay, well, they're definitely going to figure out a way to reset him back to classic Matt Smith before they do the actual regeneration.
Right.
Oh, speaking of which, I loved the way they did the actual, like, full on regeneration this time.
Yeah, it's I liked the
snap.
Yeah, the snap. That's what people were talking about. It's like, this is not like a long morph thing. It was like, it's because all the energy was expanded and it was a very quick turnover.
Yeah. We've done the glowy CGI transition before. I was really excited to see something new with that.
Yeah, and that entire scene actually, I think, was my favorite scene. His little, it kind of feels like it always happens.
Mm-hmm.
At least with the new Doctor.
Right.
We haven't gone back and seen enough of the old Doctor regenerations.
Right.
But there's that because a lot of the, like, when the Doctor dies, there's either, like, in the old ones, from what I have seen, it's been a lot of, like, either montages or the Doctor is, like, you know, hurt and killed, and then you see what happens. Whereas in the new Doctor, it feels they all have a chance to get on stage and say some final words for everybody, you know, like a little speech of some kind.
He had his little monologue. It was a nice little monologue.
I liked it, and then the whole, like, you know, doing the bow tie,
mm-hmm.
and then the snap, which is like, that's it. It happened. It's gone. There's no going back.
And I will say, unlike David Tennant's regeneration, his last words did not infuriate me.
Yeah. And so let me, like, going back to the David Tennant generation.
Yeah.
Seeing, like, such, like, oh, that was terrible, or I didn't enjoy it at all, and all this reaction, like, it let me down. I've seen so many people talk about that, and for this episode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does anyone not remember the end of time?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you guys got a coherent hour and a half of television that did not include John Sim eating an entire chicken.
I know, that's the thing. It's like,
you freaking babies.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I guess, like, I'm wondering, is the reaction being driven by people who just came in with Matt Smith, or there was just quite a few people like, oh, this is, anyway.
I will say that the episode is a little weirdly disjointed. Like, I feel like there's, like, you've got the big, you know, I really like the opening sequence, like the, you know, kind of like the juxtaposing of the craziness of making Christmas dinner with also the craziness of
investigating what's going on in the planet.
Yeah, I feel like the fact that they were given equal weight and were both equally exciting was actually kind of a really fun bit of directing. I really liked that.
Right.
So that was fun. And then, that was fun. And then, like, you have, like, the extended sequence with the visit to church.
Right.
It's a very segmented episode. The climax doesn't kind of,
it feels very like chapters in a book.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, hey, something strange going on. Let's go talk to the church. Now you're on the planet.
Yeah.
Now that I know what the planet is, it feels like that's it. You're exactly right, because it's like right before, there's like almost like the chapter ending of, and Clara gets sent away. And then you turn the next chapter, it's like, the Doctor fought the battle for hundreds of years. And then blah, blah, blah. And then Clara came back.
And I will say, I like the I feel like you and I are going to disagree about this, but I really liked the fact that the idea of the Doctor just kind of getting to spend 300 years in this little town taking care of these people.
And, oh, I don't disagree. I think that was actually enjoyable.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it feels like it was just like, it was almost like the Doctor got his reward.
Yeah.
Like, and that, of all the rewards to get, this is an odd one, but, you know.
Yeah, it's... you know, doing what he likes, which is being nice to kids, and you know, I love that moment where he tosses the kid a toy to fight the, like, while he's about to fight the wood Cyberman, he's like, oh, here, I fixed it, added the anti-grav, and they're like, anti-grav? And like, I thought I'd improve it.
Yeah, the his little house covered in children's drawings,
yeah,
saying, we love you, Doctor, is just, that's beautiful.
And also the TARDIS itself, when he was, like, had that weird moment where he was, like, somewhere else mentally, and it's an Amy Pond, the Amy Pond cameo came in.
Yeah.
That I thought was actually really well done with the children's drawings as well. Mm-hmm. The love of children for the Doctor.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think, in fact, like that, remember going back to what I was saying about, like, this is great because it's felt like a summary of everything about the Moffat-Smith mm-hmm. era. So that's all great. The content of it was all great. I think sometimes because it throws so many ideas out there, uh-huh. some of it was just like too fast, too furious. Just like they're like, oh, this is like this because, and you kind of carry on over it. And I can see what people don't like that about the throwawayness. I love the throwawayness of the Moffat stuff where he'll say something and it happens. But other times, you know, not really. I mean, there were some people pointing out the fact that the Doctor point says, I built an android boyfriend once too. You know, and like, what does that mean that the Doctor did that?
Yeah, Doctor's lived a long time. He's had a lot of time to make lots of robot boyfriends.
He's to do things.
Yeah.
The new introduction of what's called Tasha Lem.
Yeah, I like that character a lot.
I like that character. By the way, that lady, over 50.
No.
Yeah. Casey looked her up and we're like, no. And she's like 50 plus years.
Way to keep it tight, girl.
No kidding. And now, like, Casey's hoping for some shipping between the new Doctor and her.
I like it. age-appropriate love interest.
Exactly.
Because there is actually going to be this interesting element to Peter Capaldi bombing around the universe with Clara.
Yeah.
Because he not young.
No, he's not. But maybe they want to go back to, like, the idea of a fatherly figure for the Doctor.
Yeah, maybe.
We shall save it for speculation.
Speculation.
Anything else you didn't like about?
I mean, the disjointedness was kind of a problem.
And I completely agree with that. It's sort of, like, I was a bit, for a while, to understand, like, where did Handles show up? I love that character of the Cyberman head, and I kind of wish it would be a permanent fixture for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it also was like, why?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any huge complaints at this moment.
Yeah.
Probably the more I think about it or the more people talk to me about it. I mean, I don't think it was the most exciting adventure the Doctor has ever had, but I think it was, like you said, it's a nice encapsulation. I mean, there's probably the argument to be made that the ending is a little deus ex machina, like.
Yeah, but I would say that's also part of the Moffat era, right?
Yeah. I mean, Clara basically begging for an additional regeneration. I guess it works.
I'm going to say this, more so than any other companion the Doctor's had,
mm-hmm.
Clara is the personification of Doctor Who fans.
Huh.
Of what they would, you know, like the, please Doctor, she's been through with him throughout the years, you know, there's a lot of, you know, please don't go, I love you kind of moments. Different than Rose, different than, and nearly any other companion they've had in New Who.
Yeah, I think that seems accurate, and also that not only does that seem accurate, I mean, I think also like the fact that, you know, she is also the companion who knows the most about the Time Lords flat out,
because right.
So she's actually in this really interesting position when it comes. Actually, I like also that means that she's not going to be weird about the whole regeneration thing.
In fact, she might be able to give him advice on stuff, saying, mm-hmm. well, you did this in this incarnation, but you did this in this incarnation.
Yes. Like, she'll have to teach him how to drive the TARDIS.
Yes. And yeah, like that kind of thing. It would be, anyway, that, yeah, exactly that, which is that she knows more. She's kind of best prepared to guide him through what happens next. It's not Rose at the end of ninth season.
Yeah.
Where she's like, what the hell just happened, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like 10th did this alone, right? There was no one there for 10.
Yeah. It was sad.
It was very sad. No wonder he didn't want to go.
Shut up. Shut up. Stupid last words. You don't get to quit the show and then say you don't want to go. I'm sorry. That's a rule. I made it.
It was Russell T. Davies. No, wait, that doesn't work out either.
I think the cleverest thing I've heard someone say about this whole thing is that I was talking to, I wish Stephen Moffat would regenerate. And I think that's actually, what I really like about that sentiment is it's not that we want him to go away. We just want him to be better.
Yeah, we want him to be better.
I mean, not that this was bad. I think this is actually one of the most enjoyable and coherent Moffat episodes I've seen, like, flat out.
Yeah. He's really good at beginnings or endings. I think I'm going to say that, given if you look at his different seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, like the first season he was on, I'd say the 11th hour, while a lot of people enjoyed it, was just...
The 11th hour is kind of wobbly.
Yeah, it is. And they're finding their legs.
Right.
But the Pandorica opens...
Pandorica opens Big Bang. It's a fantastic finale.
Great. Fantastic finale. The next one is at the beginning of the next season. Fantastic intro.
Yeah. Impossible Astronaut, Day of the Moon. Great stuff.
Yeah. And then cave to the end, and you're like, what?
Oh, the Wedding of River Song.
Exactly.
The Wedding of River Song still has the best 15 minutes of maybe any Moffat Doctor Who episode. It's just the rest.
Beginning?
Yeah, the beginning 15 minutes is stellar. Mm. It's just, unfortunately, the rest of the episode.
yeah.
I mean, what are people really complaining about? Like...
Oh, just, I feel people feel like they were wanting to be bigger and better and something super special. I think expectations were set really high.
Didn't they pay attention to last month and how the BBC spent all the money already?
I know that. They're like, are you not sated with Day of the Doctor?
Yeah, Day of the Doctor is, I feel like doing Day of the Doctor needed to be a big spectacle.
Right.
And it was. So naturally, of course, Time of the Doctor is going to be, I feel like Time of the Doctor, especially given the fact that it's a regeneration episode, needed to be a smaller, more intimate thing.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, and it was, an intimate for Matt Smith.
Right.
And like I said, it hit everything of like what you want to summarize of like, big tracts of time go by where you don't know what he's up to.
Yeah, you were going to have a con about that.
Oh, I already mentioned it. The fact is that the rapid fire delivery and things going over, you know, it lends itself to being a bit disjointed. And
right.
There's so much shoved in this episode.
Yeah.
But also there's a lot of nice touches as a result of that. Like, I love that his last meal was fish fingers and custard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a nice little touch like that. There's a lot of callbacks.
A lot of callbacks.
Right. But as a result, you can't really spend time on any one of them.
Right.
I mean, even though the whole, like finally being revealed what the silence was, you know, and then the faction that went back, it was kind of like, I'm telling you this. Like, that was told by exposition, not demonstrated.
Yeah.
You never saw a group saying, disagreeing with Tasha Lemon heading off.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they brought back the human Dalek hybrids, at least in an interesting way, but also, like, I'm not going to be happy if those guys keep showing up in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually worried about that, and they were fortunately pretty minimal. I'd also like to just in general the war. I think, you know, was kind of abbreviated.
Right, and then that's the other point. Like you're told like, oh, the Doctor and the Silence work together in the end.
Yes,
which is different from what you've seen in the past.
Yeah.
So you get that barely there. The point being like that's the con, but it's not a bad con.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, you got an hour and a half, or an hour, full hour in Britain, but an hour and a half here. What you complaining about?
Of all the Moffat episodes, I feel like this is one of the strongest I've seen.
Yeah, and a straight through line in terms of story.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe disjointed when you like bounce from chapter to chapter of it, but that's it. Again, I'm going to just say, compare this to End of Time.
Compare this to End of Time. Jesus, please do that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean... I think my only real major con is that old age makeup looked crappy.
I didn't mind it so much. I thought it was fun. He looked like Dr. Emmett Brown, another significant time traveler. so that worked out for me. Now, I get your point. Some parts is like, yeah, okay, we get it. He's old.
It's just old age makeup is really hard to pull off.
Right.
And they didn't pull. It was not up to my standards.
Right.
Which are not high.
Actually, one other con.
Yeah.
The town called Christmas.
Oh, I didn't see the point of that. Actually, I didn't see the point of that. Also, I wanted more with the whole, like, everyone has to tell the truth here.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's stuff but that goes back to the point of, like, we toss in an idea with no real explanation. Like, there's a truth field because.
Yeah.
It happens to be a town called Christmas because the nudity field. I kind of, we were like, Casey had an interesting idea. Like, she thought when the hologram stuff came out that at the end, when he showed up as being normal, like, right. I mean, back to normal, not aged, that he was going to try to show, like, ease Clara into that fact that he's someone different now.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing the snap, but sort of like, I'm going
to... Oh, I actually had that thought, too.
Yeah. And it's like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so... But so then it became just like, no, it's just the nudity joke. There's no explanation of why you have to be nude in front of the church and things like that.
Oh.
But there was not even a line like, to fully expose yourself, you know, yeah. to the glory or something like that.
There wasn't that line.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it was just for the line of course I'm naked, I'm going to church.
Yeah. You know, there's that and it's the glee in being naked repeatedly.
Yes.
You know, I'm naked, I'm naked, I'm naked.
There was even the deleted scene where they hug, where, like, it's very quick, but it's just like...
They hug and it's not like...
Yeah. Fun times.
I think I kind of like the scene where he comes in the family and it's apparent that everyone else sees him naked.
Yes.
And I just love that moment, like, oh, probably because they're not... I did the projection just on you, but not on everybody else.
Well, another thing, actually this is a con for me, just because I feel like... Though it's a nerdy con. We just, you know, there's like a full like 10 minutes of an episode devoted to establishing it last season that Claire is an orphan. And where is this family coming from?
I think you're right.
Or it's like, or her mother's dead? I think it's her mother who's, maybe it's her mother who's dead.
Yeah, you're right.
But like, yeah, there's no context for her family. Her family just kind of shows up.
Yeah, and they also, I'm going to say this about it, they feel like each of them from a different family.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I mean, it could be her adoptive family. That was that'd be fine. I just didn't, I was like, I can't remember exactly what her deal is, but I remember that...
Her mother passed away.
Her mother's definitely dead.
Yeah.
Her father might be dead too, but then that might have been her father. Maybe it was an adoptive family. I don't know.
Yeah.
The point is, there was this family, and I didn't understand how they were related to her.
Right.
They just, it was just like Moffat needed to have a family for her to disappoint on Christmas. And also the Christmas cracker didn't really go anywhere. Like the poem, except for having her having a poem to read to the old doctor.
Right.
And
like it was very, it was attempted poeticism, but.
Yeah.
Like, and also, like, the fact that Doctor likes a joke in his cracker, just like her batty grandmother did.
Old people like the jokes.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just a touch there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting something more out of it. And that's the thing, is it's so many things being thrown at you that you're like, is that coming back, or is that coming back, or what have you.
Yeah.
But the core of it worked.
Yeah, the core of it worked. Capaldi, I'm disappointed we only got 30 seconds of Capaldi. I was hoping for a little more.
So, like... I was joking about, like, speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not like, speculation? Peter Capaldi's the doctor!
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in those 30 seconds that... I see some people trying to talk about it online. Like, this means this and that, but...
My brother was complaining that he's like, oh, God, it's going to be all about, like, him not knowing how to fly the TARDIS. And I'm like, no, it's just going to be, like, a couple of minutes. Like,
yeah.
That's going to... The top of the next episode will be Peter Capaldi figuring out how,
like,
to fly the TARDIS.
Like, this is supposed to happen. Though I did say that there could be something hilarious if not even the first episode, but the entire... They almost go back to the root of it, like, the TARDIS not being able to be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a recurring theme anyway. The TARDIS goes where it kind of wants to. But it'd be kind of funny to have an episode. The next season is they just keep bouncing from place to place. Because she never actually goes back to that Christmas dinner, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And it'd be hilarious that they pick it up next season.
Next Christmas. she finally finishes Christmas dinner.
Yeah, and I thought that would be great. I'd actually enjoy that. It's like...
That could happen. That's good speculation. That's good speculation.
But that's like completely like, if I'm forced to put my hand on speculate something from what we've seen, it's like that. You know, the line's delightful, you know, my kidneys, mm-hmm. I don't like the color, but you could totally see any doctor saying that.
Yeah.
Like I could even imagine, I can hear Tennant say that line, I can hear Smith say that line.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that makes you go like, ooh, that's a Capaldi-esque twist on it.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't get nearly enough Capaldi so far, but, you know, that's what August is for.
Yeah. Actually, I was trying to think, like, what was Matt Smith's first line? Because he did say something. Did he say Geronimo right off the bat?
No. He talked about his hair.
right off. That was like that was what happened in Tennant's last episode.
No, but he talked about his hair. Matt Smith also talked about his hair. He's like, "Oh, I'm a girl."
Oh, was that the that's what I'm wondering if he said that during his first episode or during Tennant's during the Tennant episode.
Oh,
that's my question. That was
yeah, I don't quite remember. No, I think yeah, actually, I think the way 11th Hour opens is like the TARDIS hurtling through
yeah on the sky. Fire because yeah. How epic. I actually kind of like admire that Russell T Davies like. Tennant's change is so freaking epic, it burns out the TARDIS. And I don't, like, and like I can't remember if he gave any reason why that was.
I think to, well, trigger the remodel.
I understand why it was in our reality. Like,
I don't know, like, yeah, I don't, regeneration, and I don't know, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. We are getting way too into the nitpicking. Do you want to hear what people on the internet had to say?
Yes, let's do so.
So from our Facebook page, we had some ranting, some quality ranting going on.
That's what I'm telling you.
Chris Burdick says, "I hate episodes where the Doctor stands around and does nothing." This was the patron saint of that. He literally stands around and does nothing for well over 300 years. Are you telling me the most clever guy in creation, the universe's Sherlock Holmes / H2O / MacGyver, can't come up with an ingenious escape plan when he has nearly half a century to do it in? Bah, I say, feh. It's the worst Doctor stands around episode since The Town Called Mercy. I mean, he wasn't standing around. He was fixing toys and saving lives and...
This goes back to because they're rushing through many things. You don't see those stuff. You're just told the Doctor totally kicked everyone's asses for 300 years.
True enough. Jeff Scott Ewell comments, think it was 2.5 hours of story shoved into a jumbled 1 hour. Seeing him age after 400 years seems odd because he was gone longer than just before the lake picnic death scene, wasn't he? The battle was silly, not the grandest I had hoped for. Ugh, why does this episode negate the whole Matt Smith's run? Was this not a fixed point in time? Ugh, I say again, grr. I tried to capture all the noises.
Did he write that or did you just say that?
No, those are all the noises. I just said that.
Okay.
Susan Magnusson comments, it seemed like a fairly lame send-off and the strange grafting Christmas onto it seemed out of place. Yeah.
And as I said, that was the part where...
I didn't super mind it, but, you know, Rudy, it was an issue.
It was just more like, you could have called it something else, or, do you know what the name of Christmas is in this language? Translore! Why, it's my last chance to do that!
I'm so disappointed you haven't done it already! I've been waiting for it.
I'm so
sorry. I told my dad, I was like, Rudy's gonna go Translore the whole time.
The whole time. No, I want to pace it out. Enjoy it, the final one. But yeah, the Christmas thing. I'll have to say this as, again, using one of our patented tangents.
Mm-hmm.
The Downton Abbey Christmas special is increasingly also not about Christmas.
Downton Abbey Christmas special is increasingly not about anything.
Yes. Things happen.
No, nothing. Did anything happen? Nothing happened.
They went to the seaside?
They went to the seaside. Spoiler alert for Downton Abbey. There's an ocean.
Yeah. What's called? Thomas said something nasty.
Yes. Gosh. Den Palmer comments, well, I am sorry, guys, but I loved it. I thought it was heartwarming, tied up most of the stuff in the 11th Doctor arc, and to me, the plot made sense, and the 11th Doctor's last speech was brill. But seems in a minority, I still loved it anyway. He's looking forward also to the 12th Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it didn't change the world, but it did do a nice job of wrapping up Matt Smith, yeah. I feel. And I feel you agree. On the Twitters, do you want to read the Twitters?
Let's bounce over to the tweets.
The tweets.
Far back do we go. Nick Slayton,
mm-hmm.
good friend of ours.
Yep.
Says, a little tragic, fitting tragic end to Smith's run. It hit up 3 years of plot points wonderfully. The only thing missing was Fez.
Yes, there was no headgear of any, there was no headgear of any type.
I'll say this, though. Anything that was not covered in this episode, we already got it in The Day of the Doctor.
That is true.
Right. And that's why I actually I'm going to put that in the pro.
Yeah.
As like, I'm glad that they didn't retread ideas that was already presented in The Day of the Doctor.
Yeah. And also, Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. You were saying that people are kind of approaching Name of the Doctor, Time, Day of the Doctor, and Time of the Doctor as kind of a trilogy.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really interesting way of thinking about it. Because if they... I actually... Maybe something I'll do with my infinite free time is try watching Time of the Doctor and Day of the Doctor and Time of the Doctor, like, back to back.
Yeah.
And see if they hold up kind of as a, you know, essentially a two-parter.
Yeah, I think that they...
They're going to be... They're both incredibly standalone in structure.
Right, I guess so.
But it'd be interesting to see how they compare.
Yeah, I'd actually toss the Name of the Doctor in there. I know, like, already I can think of it and going, Name of the Doctor is probably the weakest one.
Yeah.
The thing you're reflecting on is, like, I think they only literally had two sets in that episode, two or three sets.
Yeah.
Like, outside the TARDIS on Trans-Alore, inside the TARDIS on Trans-Alore, and, you know, it was always kind of like we're going back on it, the Great Intelligence is the baddie.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a half-committed baddie. In that was it 8 episodes of Clara we got?
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, he's there at the beginning of the end, but not really connected to what's going on.
He's just kind of hanging.
Yeah, he's not really tied to the Impossible Girl concept that well.
Yeah.
And they could have done something more with it.
Ugh.
Especially if they had Ian McKellen's voice for it.
Yeah. You throw in Ian McKellen, you got to do something with that.
Oh, yeah.
Our friend Fee 501st comments, it was an awesome send-off, and I almost didn't tear up, but taking off the bow tie scene got me.
Oh.
Did you get teary?
No, I did not, but I did go wow. As I said, that scene was my favorite. I loved the speech. I thought, like, everything was pitch perfect, and I went wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good. I don't know if I've gotten teary with Doctor Who in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably, well, maybe last season. Got a bit teary when Clara died in the last Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
That was very
sweet. Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah, that was very sweet. I definitely got teary-eyed with the whole, what's called, the painter there.
Oh, Van Gogh.
That Van Gogh episode.
Oh, God, like, that's a murderer.
Yeah.
I think I got teary during, what's it called? I got teary during the anniversary special, I think. A little bit.
I think Casey got teary, too. And I'll miss this about Matt Smith, that while Tenants is more fun to watch in some things, you know, people said it time and again, and I agree with that, Matt Smith captured that kind of old man sadness in his own body kind of way. You know, like that, when he gets quiet and reflective on stuff.
There is a depth to what Matt Smith did with the Doctor that I think we will continually be more and more impressed by.
Yeah.
It's just, it really is a shame, though, like, because some of the material he's gotten has just not been great.
Yeah.
And he's, like, structurally, a lot of the seasons he's been in have been flawed. And it would be interesting, it would be a very different Doctor Who, but like Russell T. Davies writing Matt Smith would be...
It would be very interesting to see, or may not have worked. It's the one thing... Some people have been saying... I saw an article... Someone made an argument that, like, people say, oh, Moffat and Davies are... he's arguing that people, that they're not different, that they're actually the same, that Moffat's just the continuation of Davies. And I'm like, not really. I mean, I get some of the points he was making, but their styles are radically different.
Radically different.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if they would have worked out so well.
Yeah. Apparently that was something randomly. Apparently there was a one point discussion of, like, Matt Smith and David Tennant sharing a season.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like it came from them. They thought they had the idea.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was something our friend Alan Kistler wrote about for Wired.
Oh, that's right.
That the idea of, like, them, I guess it was like maybe it was like them tag teaming, but also appearing in episodes together occasionally. But, you know, it just became the anniversary episode, which is fine.
Right.
But still. Oh, I meant to tell you, this is the craziest thing. So I had this really stupid revelation, which is to say, Which is to say, I had this revelation, and I was like, but that's so obvious. Everyone else must have thought of this. but I finally understand Billy Piper's role in Day of the Doctor.
Okay.
Because the way Billy Piper is used in Day of the Doctor is the clearest indication possible that the original structure of this episode was meant to be for the War Doctor was meant to be Christopher Eccleston.
Yes.
Because if Christopher Eccleston had been playing those John Hurt scenes,
right,
debating whether or not to set off the Time War, he would have been acting opposite Billy Piper.
Right, which is where everything started.
Yeah, and so, like, that would have been great.
Yeah.
That would have been so cool, because then, you know, she's still playing it exactly the same, but she's acting opposite, you know, it's like you have that chemistry, and you also have that history, and as soon as I figured it out, it made me mad.
Damn you, Eccleston! What was the other thing for it? Was going back to Day of the Doctor.
Yeah.
You know, like, that also irritated me, was that the only person who can see her is the person who has no kind of back history with it. You mean, like, even, like, the only thing we got for 10, like, I know you didn't get your kiss.
Yeah.
But we didn't get anything with Tennant.
No interaction whatsoever.
Except for, like, a furrowed eyebrow at the word bad wolf.
Yes.
And I go, that seems familiar. And I think something that he says that makes Billy Piper smile.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they got to hang out on set together. That must have been nice for them.
Dear Moffat.
God.
I would like my money back.
Yeah, I try not to think about that too hard. It hurts me.
It hurts.
But yeah, I think, you know, we're going to miss you, Matt Smith. You did a fine job. I'm looking forward to Peter Capaldi in 8 months or whatever.
Oh, two last things about that. One, going back to prose for a second, I love the gag about the hair, because remember there was a big deal about him having shaved his head.
Yes. So yeah, having them kind of hang a lantern on the fact that he is wearing a wig.
Yeah, and they actually play into it. It was like, I thought it was actually brilliant.
That was a smart move.
But also, we're saying goodbye, but here's the thing. We now actually have active Whos out there,
mm-hmm.
right? There's nothing stopping, and now opening up the fact that they can meet and rejoin and stuff. I would not be surprised if they bring them back. For like Matt Smith to pop in and do something again.
I mean, it's definitely within their own possibility.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one season without that concept, because they just established it. You don't want the He-Man She-Ra situation, which I always point out, where someone's like, oh, this is not immediately doing it successful. Bring the other guy and remind us how this show is totally not the same and you as much as you want it to be. concept.
Yeah.
Especially hearing that the actors were open to having the each other around.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what happens, but you know, the fact that David Tennant came back is, I think, a clear indicator that, you know, it's not the seal's kind of been broken on that. You know,
not just Tennant this year. I mean, the Eighth Doctor.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Paul McGann.
Paul McGann. I mean, Casey's not stopped talking about that.
Let us love that Paul McGann.
Apparently so.
He has aged well.
Yeah.
He's actually arguably hotter now than he was in the TV movie.
I feel very uncomfortable continuing this line of conversation. It brings up feelings in me.
Well, let's wrap it up then. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back soon with one of our patented roundtables.
We'll talk about, reflecting on, shall we call it, the Year of the Doctor?
The Year of the Doctor. I believe so. And then we're going to probably be taking we're going to be scaling back, I think, as you might understand. We have as there's much, much less to talk about, thus we will talk less. which is an aberration for us, I know. Usually the less we have to talk about, the more we talk.
Yes.
But
if you know how to fill time, it's us. Get it? Time?
Hey, timey-wimey. And speaking of timey-wimey TV, segue. You can find us on the internet on Twitter at timeywimeytv. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/timeywimeytv. You can find us on Google Plus by There's a short URL, but just search for us on Google Plus. We're on Tumblr at timeywimeytv.tumblr.com. Mm-hmm. And as always, you can email us at feedback@timeywimey.tv or find us on the internet at timeywimey.tv.
You can subscribe to us with your favorite RSS reader at our website.
Yep.
Look for us on the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
Or on Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher. Yep. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
Happy holidays again, everyone.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.